Merry Christmas, Big Blue Nation. The Cats, they're ringing in the holiday season with a huge win, a huge get from the transfer portal. Devin Leary will be a Kentucky Wildcat. The news was first reported by our good friend from 1-3, Matt Zenitz. Look it. We got our guy. We got him. We did it.
The waiting game is over. Kentucky got their top target, Nick. Like, this was the guy they wanted. This was the guy they zeroed in on. Got him on campus. And good old Hugh Freeze tried to steal him late. Could not do it. And so, yeah, just a big win for the program here. You had to have a quarterback, right? I mean, there was a lot of needs, but that's the biggest one. You got to address the most important position in the sport. You had momentum here with Levis. He's going to be a draft pick. Kind of melded on the recruiting front this year, high school-wise, with the change coordinators. You don't have a freshman quarterback coming in. You had to get a guy in the portal. It's going to be a one and done. But if Devin Leary, and this is a big but, staying healthy is the kicker here.
Yeah,
he's got to stay healthy. But if he does, there's reasons to be excited, because if you kind of look at how the offense is built, Leary's bringing a skill set that is really needed. And I think it's going to really help them transition here in 2023.
Look, I think first and foremost, to just go through the credentials, right? He was the number one ranked quarterback in the transfer portal. On3 had him ranked as the number four transfer portal player overall. He was their top target. They hosted him on campus. Over the weekend, he did check out Auburn. And there was a little worry that he might go elsewhere. Graham Mertz visited campus. But not even Hugh Freeze, noted cheater, one of the cheatingest cheater who's ever cheated, not even Hugh Freeze could convince Leary to go elsewhere. And I think you have to give some credit not only to Kentucky for going and getting Liam Cohen back in the fold, but there's also got to be some credit here to Will Levis, because the weapons that make this such a desirable destination for Devin Leary, the Dane Keys, the Berrion Browns, you got Shamar Porter coming in, could be some more talented receivers. Those weapons that make this place a coveted destination for quarterbacks, that's all possible because of what Liam and Will Levis did in 2021.
Yeah, and you're probably not getting this guy, right, unless Liam Cohen returns to Kentucky. We still waiting on confirmation for that, but you have to think that played a big part. Here, you have to think. Tim Beck, offensive coordinator, is a Youngstown Cardinal Mooney guy. He's now the head coach at Coastal Carolina. He was Leary's play caller for 3 years when he kind of started his rise. You have to think that helped, right? Mm-hmm. Scott Woodward's got ties to New Jersey and, you know, the Mid-Atlantic area. That probably helped. So there's just a lot. I think a lot of things came together here, Nick, and I think that's what allowed them to beat out Auburn, was all those things coming together, and it's a lot of things are tied together, right? Levis, yeah. Cohen, skill talent available, Kentucky, Devin Leary, all that's kind of tied together, and it was just a big get. I think mainly, Nick, just the floor is really high here.
Yes, yes.
And when I say Leary has a skill set that can succeed in this offense, what I really mean is next year, more than any year we've seen here in a long time, is all about getting the ball to your playmakers in space and helping out your offensive line, getting the ball out quick and creating space for your playmakers, getting on the ball and letting them make plays. Leary is going to be really good at that. He on tape at NC State, he was a very good decision maker, good processor, shown by the 35-5 TD INT ratio. And he throws a good go ball. There's a lot he can do there, and you can trust him to have the capacity to be like, this guy can throw the ball 40 times. Like he's played with bad running games at NC State. He's had to carry the offense with the passing game, with that leading the way. You feel good that he can come in and do that with Kentucky and can get the ball to 2, can get the ball to 6, can get the ball to 85, can get the ball to 9. We're assuming Tavian Robinson comes back. That's big. And then you add on top of that Cohen's play calling chops that we've seen and how he's been able to scheme stuff open. There's just a lot to get excited about, I think.
I like the point that Saints for Christ says on the KSR YouTube channel, why do we keep getting quarterbacks from the teams we beat in bowl games? So excited for Leary to be a Cat. Go Big Blue.
People, so Spencer Petras will be the quarterback next year.
Yeah, yeah. I don't believe Leary played in that bowl game, though, the Gator Bowl back in 2020.
He had a broken leg. He only played four games that year. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one, two of the three seasons that he has missed because of injury. It was a broken leg in 2020. It was a torn pec this year, six games into the season. And that's a good question that Alex asked. Like, a lot of it's going to come down to protecting him. There was a report by ESPN that I'm sure Leary's camp leaked out. That's at least the vibe I got, was that they're hoping he can be back by March to be able to throw for spring ball. But there's certainly, like, the injury concerns. That is, like, look, if this guy didn't have the injury concerns, he would probably be in the NFL after a solid season, right? Like, that's what you deal with in the transfer portal. But to go back to your overall point with the high floor, the high four prospects, it doesn't get any higher when, like, really all it is a couple of freak injuries here, right? It's not like Malik Cunningham where he'd get a hangnail every other week and then he'd have to sit out. Like, this is a little bit different kind of stuff.
And Devin Leary didn't necessarily have the best offensive lines at NC State. Like, he's not used to just having a total rock wall in front of him. He's had to play with in a scheme that's maybe needed to get the ball out a little faster, that's needed to stand in there and take some shots to make some throws middle of the field on third down. I think that all adds up. Like, he's going to be suited to have success here because of his strengths and because of his playing experience at NC State. That's why I think it made, for Kentucky, it made a lot of sense. It's just that injury. Like, the durability is, that's the biggest thing concerning me here. But if you keep him healthy, you get the ball out quick, and you let the passing game maybe set up the run more than we've seen in the past, I think this could be a really good marriage. And mainly, Leary has just proven he has the capacity where he can go and throw the ball 40 times a game and can win. And he's not going to make bad decisions. He's going to get the ball out on time with accuracy, and he's going to make the right decisions, and he's going to allow you to have success on offense. And so I think there's a lot to like here.
We'll talk more about signing day later. Just got some good news. So, going to be a big Wednesday. Going to be a big Wednesday, Luckett.
Are they all?
Yeah. Going to be a big one. Here's a good question that somebody asked on the KSR YouTube channel. Aaron poses it, and this is a conversation that I had on the radio quite often with my pal TJ Walker. But he played in the ACC, though. Is there – do you have – I don't know, I'm going to say concerns, but, like, the ACC, we've been very clear about our thoughts about the level of play there. They freaking stink. It's like a JV league sometimes. Are we worried about transitioning from that ACC to the SEC next year?
The biggest win of Dave Dorn's tenure was against Clemson last year. Clemson had a top five defense by any metric. Leary made some big boy throws in that game. Like, was really the only reason their offense scored points was because of the throws he made in that football game. Like, he's played against good teams, good defenses before. He's going to be fine. He also...
Can you bring up that record he has?
He was under Tim Beck. He was 17-4. Or NC State was 17-4 in games he started. The four losses were to teams with winning records. The only one not ranked was Mississippi State last year, Nick. And we know what that Mississippi State team did to Kentucky in Starkville. NC State also lost in Starkville. Every other team was a ranked loss. This year against Clemson, ACC champion. Last year against Miami on the road. Miami had a good, like, with Van Dyke when they got heated up. I guess that was the only other team not ranked. The other two were ranked. Wake Forest finished 11-3. I think they were maybe in the top 10. Last year they lost a close game on the road to them. So, like, and then he lost to Clemson this year, like I already said. And NC State was in every one of those games. So, like, this is a guy that comes from a winning program. And there's enough tape there where I think he's going to be fine adjusting here. And also, like, the Cohen effect is big here, too. Like, we saw what Cohen did with Will Levis, a more, like, unprepared Will Levis, I would say. And then we saw what we got with Will Levis this past year. And also, the supporting cast is going to be better. Like, Kentucky's got pros at receiver. Like this is setting up where Berrien Brown can make potentially make an All-American type run. If he becomes like the number one target, like I think he will in this Cohen offense, where you could see him getting 80 receptions, Nick, you know, 1,200 yards. You could see that playing out. Especially now they got a proven quarterback that they can trust to get him the ball. I think it all just ties in together. I think there's a lot of reasons to be confident that this offense is going to get fixed. And they averaged in that 17-4 run, they averaged 32-33 points per game. So maybe not the best numbers at all times, but they were still scoring points, and he was finishing drives without a great running game, and without, like, you know, NC State, their best receiver was Emeka Emezi, who I think was an undrafted free agent last year.
Yeah.
So they just hasn't had the best supporting cast here, where he's going to have some NFL guys, I think, throwing the ball to in Lexington.
Alex asked a question that we don't have an answer to. We're operating under the assumption that Tavion Robinson will be back for another season. Don't know if that was always the case, but I think the prospects of Cohen returning, while that isn't solidified, we'll get that final news as soon as the NFL season ends. That's kind of the timetable everybody's operating under right now. One news that I'm still freaking waiting on, that we're all waiting on, we're still waiting for Ray Davis to take off his shades, his sunglasses. We thought this guy would be committing over the weekend. It's now Tuesday. That hasn't happened. I don't know what the holdup is, but maybe as soon as we get off the air, it'll take us getting off the air for a 1,000-yard rusher in the SEC to join the Big Blue Nation as well. Look, I just appreciate that you had the common decency to schedule something that took you away from your computer for an hour and a half the day before signing day, because there was some thought that this might not happen until Wednesday. But we needed one of us to have something pre-scheduled to get us away from the computer, because that's when the breaking news always happens. It's as soon as you leave the computer.
Yeah, as soon as I go meet with a realtor. And then I had to switch it up this week already to kind of fit our schedule. I was just like, of course. Of course this happens right now. Everything's going. I'm getting buzz. So yeah, if that's what it takes, that's what we got to do. So you need to go do something so we can get Ray Davis to pop, because we have been waiting. And that's the worst part with all of this, right? With coaching carousel, coaching changes, recruiting. The waiting is the hardest part. You're just waiting for stuff to happen. You think it's happening, but you don't know. You got to wait it out. But the wait ended up being worth it here, I think. Kentucky, Nick, they were trying, they had the Leary Mertz thing going, right? And they were trying to keep them both in case they lost, or keep Mertz in the fold in case they lost Leary. So they were kind of juggling some things here. So they probably needed an answer here. Like, they needed an answer this week, like early this week, or they might have had to move on to Mertz.
Oh, man. What's very funny in all this, Luckett, is that, because I forgot who it was that wrote that Leary's really going to start a domino falling. I know we saw some others already make decisions, but I think there's going to be a lot in the next 24, 48 hours. But Auburn might miss out on everybody, because I'm fascinated where Mertz will end up, because Mertz visited Florida. I think Florida was intrigued by him. When McCall...
Cousin Jeff needs a quarterback. He saw Graham Mertz a lot in the Big Ten West.
He did, but the McCall couldn't hate a – he apparently has a transfer to credits thing to Auburn that isn't working out. So McCall doesn't visit Auburn. Said he goes to Florida. Now it looks like Florida might take McCall instead of Mertz. And I love, too, seeing Hugh Freeze is tweeting out Robbie Ashford highlights. Like, hey, guys, look how this guy we've got is pretty good right here, threading the needle. Look what I can do with him. Like, dude, get the hell out of here, Hugh. And yeah. Also, let's just enjoy dunking on Auburn for a little bit. And appreciating that, I know that we've been told many times that the nil situation is dire. You always need to be better in your nil. But it's good to know that, like, commitments like this prove that Kentucky is competitive in the market for big players. Now, maybe five or six prospects down the line, it's not the same as some of these other places, but they are in the competitive market for the big fish.
I mean, we've got Ohio State complaining about their NIL situation because there's a five-star defensive end that I think is going to end up at Georgia that was a long-time commit for them. So, like, everybody is upset with their NIL situation. Everybody has mm-hmm. ways to go. But Kentucky is a big boy football program now. You know, not to get into the football school, basketball school debate, but Mark Stoops is making $9 million.
He's got a bunch of million-dollar coordinators, three
to run this football program. Yeah, we assume Liam Cohen's going to be well into that million-dollar club. I think Brad White's scheduled to make right around 1.5 this year, and the big dog fence is making over 1.2. I think he's going to be at 1.3 or 1.4 next year. So, you know, that's a lot of coin, and just Kentucky is in committed and invested into this football program, and that's why, like, that Stoops salary, everybody, you know, people had some reactions to that, but, like, that's it's the price of playing ball in this league. Like, you got to keep up, and the NIL is the same thing. They still need to keep making strides here. But, yeah, I mean, Kentucky is not – they're not going away, especially with Stoops here. They're just not going away. Like, I think, Nick, Kentucky people have gotten a taste, right? They've gotten a taste of what, like, being on a 10-win team. They've gotten a taste of beating Florida a few times. They've gotten a taste of almost winning the East.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes pretty damn good. And they don't want the taste to go away. So I think you're seeing that play out. Like, being good in football is pretty damn fun, right? And so they're going to do whatever they can. I think they're committed to that now, where I don't think that was ever really that was a huge question with Kentucky a long time. What's the alignment with the football program and being committed to competing in this league? And I think they are committed now, and I don't think that's going away. And I think, like, we, you know, Matt Jones has alluded to, a few donors have stepped up to help, and that's maybe not a long term situation, but that didn't happen 10 years ago, Nick. Like, and it's happening because people have gotten the taste of winning, and they want to keep it going. They want to keep this train moving.
Choo choo, chugga 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 choo choo. We're just finding out Carmelo English. He's announcing his decision tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
This is a stretch four Cal needs.
A lot of folks believe it'll be either Michigan or Kentucky. We had somebody ask about running backs, the future of running backs, with Chris Rodriguez gone. We discussed Ray Davis. Ray Davis is a physical bruiser that could give you a year. But as for the future, like it, another Kentucky dunk on Auburn, Jamarion Wilcox. He was supposed to visually visit over the weekend. Instead, he was hanging out with Jay Bolaware wearing a Kentucky hoodie on Sunday. And like it, I really like this guy, man. His highlight tape is fantastic. It's impressive. To watch him not only create explosive plays, but maneuver through traffic and run through tackles. He's a guy, like, I would not be surprised if he was an impact true freshman.
Trevin, right? Wallace, Kobe Albert, Jamarion Wilcox, and Devin Leary. This is 3 years in a row, Nick, where right leading up to signing day, Kentucky has beat Auburn head-to-head. Guys that were full-on takes for Auburn, so. And
Jordan, be Carmelo English too, who was once an Auburn commit. Like,
Jordan Griffin that. Too was another one. I'm trying to think what class he was in. He was a wild. I think he was like 2016.
He was 16.
That's distance a little bit. But yeah, I mean, this is head to head battle. Kentucky's winning a lot of here lately. So that is fun. Wilcox, yeah, Nick, he rushed for over 2,000 yards.
9 yards a carry.
9 yards per rush. His tape's really good. He's a zone runner. He's got. They ran some stretch zone with Douglasville, South Paulding with him. He 2,000 yards came in 12 games as a senior. He has really good tape. To me, the question is, like, size. He's not the biggest back. I've seen length measurement or height measurements everywhere from 5'6" to 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's a rock solid, probably 190 pounds. He's just, you know, you can see it with him, and he's got wiggle in space. He seems to have good vision and feel. There's a lot to like there, but the size is something I'm going to be – like, when I first see him in person, I want to see how big he is. That's my huge question with him. It's just size-wise. And then what does Kentucky's run game do? You know, like, are we going back outside zone? Are we going to stretch zone again? What kind of run game does Cohen use next year? I mean, that's going to be a huge question mark, I think. And we're not really going to find out anything. Another thing, Nick, we didn't really mention, like the schedule next year. They've got a nice little run up here to start the season.
That is true. Yeah, it's rough. And you know, once you get into October to finish things out, but you're right about the beginning.
Yeah, if we could get maybe Steven to pull up the schedule right quick. But they open with three consecutive home games, and it's non-conference home games. So you got the two MAC schools you play. I believe it's Akron and I can't think of the Akron and Ball State. And then I believe it's you can play the FCS team. And I want to think maybe Eastern Kentucky this year.
Yeah,
I
Eastern,
think
Wells Ball comes State, to town. Ball State, Eastern Kentucky, Akron at Vanderbilt. You don't play anybody until Florida on September 30th.
Here we go. Yeah, and you get like we get this September road trip to Nashville, which is going to be fun, this week four road trip.
It's not going to be 7 degrees like it will next week.
Yeah. And so you have to win that Vanderbilt game, right? But like, let's just assume they handle their business. Like 4-0 and you're hosting Florida. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a very winnable game for Kentucky early in the season. And you've got this four game, like to kind of get the kinks out on offense and defense and special teams. Like if you take, Nick, not to get ahead of myself here, but if you take care of the first four, you split, you win the two home games, lose to Georgia, like you're 6-1 with Tennessee coming to town.
Yeah.
Heading into a monster 5-game stretch, but like you could see a hot start and like a top 15 type year you could have. And then if you got that momentum, who knows what can happen. But there really is, I know the schedule is a brute here, but there really is an avenue where Kentucky could really get off to a fast start. And like, what does Mississippi State look like this year, Nick? Right? Yeah, without Mike Leach.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Leach
still going to be there. He's yet to name a full time.
How does he handle that offense? Because only Mike Leach is running the air raid like he ran it with, you know, very little run game and the dinking and dunking like they dink and dunk. Every other air raid guy they do it different than he does. And he's really good at it. And so, like, if they bring in somebody else and the personnel they have, does it fit? And so that's something we're going to be watching closely. You get
South Carolina might be losing Rattler. Rattler basically was saying, like, he basically said, "I'm throwing Shane Beamer a bone by playing in this bowl game."
Said something, but I didn't see. Yeah, what do they do? They're kind of behind. They're going to need a portal guy. If that's the case, and you know, never know if like Jeff Brohm needs a quarterback. So we got to see what they do, but. You know, the start to this year, they've got a chance, I think, to really start fast and gain some big momentum here. And with all these new pieces, I think that's probably a good thing that you get your feet under you early in the season.
Definitely.
Florida at home, man, they could win what would that be? 3 in a row over four out of the last 5. You start 4-0, man, that place is going to be a zoo. And it's September 30th. It's going to be everybody's most fun weather is right there at the end of September, beginning of October for tailgate in Lexington. Like that could be really, really fun. In Florida, like we have to see like Grayson McCall's like he's Twitter's favorite quarterback, like college football Twitter's favorite quarterback. But if you kind of how much of that was just like the scheme he was in, like the spread option scheme against bad
Sunbelt teams,
against Sunbelt teams, not to say bad defenses, but how much different does it look like if you take him out of that scheme? We'll have to find out. If he's Florida's guy, they might have – who knows? They might get Graham Mertz. I mean, who knows what it looks like.
Let's go back into a little bit more Leary talk before we just preview NSD in total. How is he similar and different than Will Levis? I think the obvious answer is Leary doesn't have the rocket arm tools that Will Levis has, and he's also not going to run like – Will Levis and use his legs in that way. But as a thrower, I think more specifically, the kinds of throws they're going to ask for him, how are they going to be different in that regard, Luckett?
Yeah, like I watched a good amount of Devin Leary tape, and I don't see him throwing like deep posts or deep over routes. Think about that big play.
In the transfer portal.
Yes. Think about the big play against Missouri year one where I think Levis maybe twice hit Wandell on like a deep over route. I don't know if Leary maybe is going to be doing that type of things, but what I think you could see are more like go balls because he is a really, really good go ball thrower. Mainly ball placement, 50-50 balls. Like he's really good at putting the ball on a guy's back shoulder, really good ball placement. So I could see that. Everything else, though, is going to be about the same. Like we, you know, the big thing in the draft community is like, you know, can you make the deep out throw, whatever. But we didn't really see that a lot from Levis, like throwing it to the field, a deep out, at least not off the top of my head. Saw him throw a lot of posts. I don't know if maybe we'll see a ton of that with Leary. Maybe we will. Who knows? But he's got like his. He does. I wouldn't say he has a power arm, but he does have a live arm. Like he does produce velocity, and he puts some mustard on the ball and throws over the middle, and he can get it there on a go ball. And so I think you could see more of the, like the go balls are something I think you could see a lot of because I think it plays in with Dane Key.
Dane Key special, maybe a little Shamar Porter action.
Yeah, and then it's going to be a lot of. And another thing to keep in mind, like Kerry Angeline in 2020 had a big year at tight end for NC State. And some of that was with Leary. And then Leary last year with Trent Phoenix had like he's had got experience throwing the ball at tight end, seam routes up the middle and stuff like that. So that could be, potentially be big, I think, for Jordan Dingley.
Well, Josh Caddis action.
Or just something. But, like, I do think, though, I think we could see more RPO stuff that we really haven't – that Cohen didn't really run a lot of. Cangarello hardly ran any of it. But, like, Leary really kind of excelled in some of the RPO stuff with NC State. You know, I think it looks like he has a baseball background. I didn't get that confirmed. Just how he kind of moves his feet and throwing angles. It looks like kind of like a shortstop back there. I could see them maybe going to more RPO type stuff. And really you're leaning into Leary's decision making there.
Yeah.
Because you trust him to make the right reads and the right calls. Especially with if Kentucky gets to a place where their receivers are just really hard to guard and stop. That can maybe be something where it can help open up your run game. You know, if people are having to go out to guard your receivers and they're playing pass first, that can maybe help your run game. So I could see RPO becoming potentially more important for Kentucky this year. And it's important. Kentucky's going to get under center, and Leary did get under center some at NC State. So it's not going to be a foreign concept to him, even though most of their stuff was out of the gun and in the pistol.
Oh, we do have some baseball stats here from Devin Leary. He finishes high school career as New Jersey's all-time high school leading passer.
Yes.
Broke all of their records before taking his talents to NC State, a four-star prospect out of high school. Well-polished. I don't think we did say this part. Only one year, one and done. So getting that big run-up at the beginning is going to be key to getting him and Cohen acclimated with one another's play caller, knowing how to trust one another, getting comfortable with his playmakers of the system. And that goes back, too, to his rehabilitation with his pec and being able to throw this spring.
He needs to be able to throw in the spring, but we don't need to see him, like, in the spring game, obviously. But, like, I don't think they need him playing scrimmages there in the spring. They really just need him to be able to run offense.
Routes on air.
Red jersey.
7-on-7.
7-on-7 and even 11-on-11 stuff where he's not live. Like, I think that could be important. But as long as he's throwing and he's in the offense and he's getting some work in, getting live reps in the spring, that I think that's going to be good enough. They don't need him. You know, we don't need to
let him get in rhythm a little bit because
Devin Leary is not playing in the Kentucky spring game, so just get ready for that. But yeah.
Well, let's look ahead to what else we have tomorrow on the site. It's the early signing period officially begins on Wednesday. It has become the new National Signing Day. Kentucky currently has 15 players committed. It's the 34th ranked class in the country right now, and based on some of what I'm hearing, that's certainly going to rise. They're going to add more players. I mentioned Jamarion Wilcox off the top. We're also going to be keeping an eye on another running back, Trey Cornish. He's announcing his decision, but like it, I ultimately don't expect him to be joining the 2023 recruiting class. There's another couple guys making decisions that are kind of up in the air. A linebacker, Asa Newsom, who officially visited last weekend. Kansas State, who was in the Big 12 championship, they're in the mix there, as well as Iowa.
He just got a crystal ball from Kansas State, Nick, I believe, over at 247.
Okay.
So that could be one that's going away from.
That might be right going there. The other way. Okay, mm-hmm. Good to know. Another one, Carmelo English. He just said he's going to announce at 10 a.m. tomorrow. We alluded to that one already. That's kind of a toss-up. A big development over the weekend, Tavian Gadsden, who I like this kid's tape too. Like, it 6'5", 270, got really long arms from Savannah, Georgia, defensive lineman. He was a Florida State commit, officially visited over the weekend. He was going to wait and sign until February so he could use a visit at Tennessee, but Kentucky did enough. He's going to sign tomorrow, which I think should tell you all you need to know.
Gadsden dug into his tape thoroughly last night. Really good get-off explosion here, Nick. Shoot gaps. He's listed at 6'5", 265, I think On3 has that verified. So for him, like, not to compare him to Josh Pascal, but you just remember how Pascal made plays. It was a lot of getting skinny in the hole, shooting a gap, explosion. That Gadsden is in a similar mold, I think. So I could see him, like, he fits. You could see him in Kentucky scheme, I think, because of that. Carmelo English, I would lean Michigan right now, Nick. Our Purdue On3 site is reporting that Kendrick Gilbert may not sign anywhere. On Wednesday. So that obviously Louisville's a big flip potential there because the Jeff Brohm and Mark Hagan, who was their defensive line coach, went to Louisville. That's one to watch there with him. It's really quiet. I heard nothing on really Wu Spencer, Demetrius Bell.
Yeah.
There's not much out there on them. Jair Hill's another guy. I think he pulled a fast one on everybody yesterday. Yeah. It seems like.
He did. That was a good way to get some news, too. Everybody's picking you go to Michigan, and then you just leave him off your top five.
Top 200 cornerback from Greater Chicago. It's been trending Michigan. He left Michigan off its graphic, I think, to build up some drama for a late afternoon announcement he's going to have. But that's probably going to be Michigan. Then a new name, Nick, you wrote about, yeah, I believe this week, I believe Monday, Javent Brown.
Yeah.
Linebacker from South Florida, St. Thomas Aquinas. Just decommitted from Michigan State. That could be Mike Stoops' first big recruiting win. Four-star prospect. They're off-ball linebacker. They need another off-ball linebacker to team with Grant Godfrey because that room's getting thin pretty quickly. You're going to lose Jaquez Jones and DeAndre Square off this team. And so that could be a nice little win here late in the cycle. And it could help, you know, they may lose on Newsom here to Kansas State, but they might be able to complete a flip from Michigan State for Javent Brown.
Yeah, which would be a nice signing day addition. There's also could be more portal players, we found out, right? We already talked about Ray Davis. There's also a kid from Dartmouth, Cokes, who now I forgot his first name, Cokes. Coca-Cola.
I have him pulling up the spreadsheet right here as we speak.
Coke Zero is great. Chase Cokes?
Shane.
Shane Cokes. Who's two times All Ivy League, created some decent havoc stats. He's a bit of a tweener, so he strikes me as the kind of guy that'd be maybe a backup jack for JJ Weaver.
I've got him at 6'3", 275.
Yeah, which is
I haven't seen the tape yet, but that just right there is kind of maybe boundary tackle or. That he could back up Ox potentially, but
I'm not sure where he would fit in.
Or Ribka, yeah, but that's gonna. I'll have to dig in the tape more, see what.
Because he played a little bit of both. His first like four or five highlights is 3-tech, and then he bounces out to a 5-some. So they moved him around a lot in the Ivy League for Dartmouth. But that's another one to keep an eye on.
But for portal guys, I think that's really where we're at right now. Ray Davis should be a cat. Here soon, we'd have to think. And everyone else is really off the board other than, like, your guy Shane Cokes. Like, we've seen Kyrie Jackson go to Oregon. Kentucky wrapped up Jansen Dunn.
From Ohio State, defensive back. They got J.C. Hardaway from Cincinnati.
Now you have to think Graham Mertz is not a take for Kentucky anymore.
Savion Washington's playing for Coach Prime. So, I still think that, maybe they stress for best available elsewhere.
Yeah.
But you got to think that they would be just hunting for tackles in the second wave of portal players.
That's what I'm looking at. Like, that's the next one they have. They have to get another tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cornerback, I think, like, J.Q. Hardaway and Jansen Dunn both have a lot of athletic traits. Like, they're both tall, long, and can move.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen it on a college field, really. I mean,
not a lot.
Hardaway played like 60-plus snaps at Cincinnati. He was on the path. Dunn bounced back and forth positions at Ohio State. He was a safety prospect in high school. I think Kentucky's going to want him to play cornerback, outside cornerback. I'm not sure. I doubt Mark Stoops lets us know on Wednesday what their plan is for him.
Or play call by committee, like it.
But we'll have to see. I mean, I don't know. I think adding another cornerback could be wise, but I don't know. The scholarship capital wise, they got a lot of guys there, mm-hmm. you know. So like, you got to kind of figure out there. Like, Deuce Chestnut is a guy I like from Syracuse, another New Jersey kid. And so, but I don't know. I think competition is probably going to be pretty stiff for him. Haven't really heard anything really about him. And so, yeah, what does it look like other than, you know, right tackle? Or is that just their focus? Is it solely on getting a tackle now? If they miss on Demetrius Bell and Carmelo English, do they take a look at receiver? Try to find some level of transfer at receiver. If Tavian Robinson leaves, I think you almost have to.
Yeah, but if he doesn't, then you're probably content with the numbers. Yeah. And then you just – and well, then he gets into best available, right? You got a couple of burning holes in your pocket, scholarship.
Yeah, you got to see what your scholarship numbers are, right?
Yeah, and right.
We'll have an update for that after the dust settles.
Right, because, you tomorrow. Know, Keontae Goodwin could decide he wants to come back to Kentucky. Like, there's a lot of balls still being juggled up in the air mm-hmm. That we kind of have to play the wait and see game on, you know, because like, yeah, we're not sure where they are with some of these guys,
right?
But how about we go ahead and we wrap this up by just scanning through this old chat and answering some questions? Because shout out to Wildcat Rewind, who says every time I see you guys, you are making my day. Go BBN. So happy to oblige. We're usually bearers of good news unless it's after a Vanderbilt game, and then we're just.
Well, you all caught me on some rap reactions after games where I was not the happiest man on the planet.
Oh, man. I like that Tommy says, I went bowling with the wide receiver group before the season. Y'all should see Barry and Brown, how competitive they are, just even in bowling, which is a great point. Like, these dudes are killers, even if it is the dumbest little game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they aren't just goofing around for kicks and giggles. One person asked earlier that I think made a good point. Like, as much as we make a big deal about what Kentucky's doing, how are some of the other guys performing in the portal? And so we alluded to it at South Carolina, them potentially being in trouble. We were laughing at Shane Beamer last week on the last edition of 11 Personnel with Dow Loggins and that whole spiel. But they also had like Tennessee and Georgia there. There isn't as much... what should I look for? There isn't as much drama. All right, we've got O'Leary. I got distracted. Devin Leary tweeted out his UK video. It's a good looking video. Wearing that Anthracite 13 jersey. That beard, he looks like with a beard and the tats, didn't he look like the dude that'd be at the Texas Roadhouse in Oklahoma on a Friday night? Fit right in. Sorry about that.
Strong Fern Creek vibes with my man Devin Leary.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna meet him at the Bardstown Road Roosters for a couple cold ones and some donkey flavored wings. Tennessee and Georgia, they aren't like hitting the portal for their replacements next year. Georgia's recruited a bunch of quarterbacks. A couple of them will probably end up being in the transfer portal next go around in the spring. As Luckett likes to call him, Tennessee got them a volleyball player that's going to be playing quarterback. He's actually already showed up on campus. Some of these guys, I don't understand the rules now where they got guys practicing before the bowl games. I don't know how that works.
We'll get to the volleyball player later. I'll explain the name. We'll do a coaching carousel episode, that'll be coming up sometime in January. We'll also do a transfer portal episode. I'll have a big write-up about how every team in the SEC did in the transfer portal, just like I did last year, and we'll talk big picture. Early on, just know, like, Michigan's doing a good job, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cousin Jeff has done a solid job getting some guys on defense.
Yeah, in the trenches.
Guys that I think can be, like, starting caliber players for them, but he also has some work to do on offense. I think you dig in that Louisville roster, like, the last two or three classes for Satterfield were absolute not good. You, like, kind of look at some of the numbers and the transfers that have left and who the impact players are. And so he's got a lot of portal shopping to do, I think, potentially. I think Louisville's off to a good start. Nebraska took Jeff Sims, I thought was a little weird. Yeah.
With Marcus Satterfield.
Marcus Satterfield.
Oh, what the hell are they doing?
We'll see how that kind of works out. Florida State's off to a good start again. They seem to always do a good job here in the transfer portal.
Where's Travis Hunter going to end up? You know, that can throw a wrinkle into things. Mm-hmm. How awesome was his touchdown catch to force overtime, though?
That was pretty sweet. We know probably Jeff Traylor was probably talking about Lincoln Riley. Because he was the one with Narduzzi last year, right, with the tampering. Jeff Traylor, UTSA coach, sent out a passionate tweet about his player get tampered with.
If y'all haven't heard from Jeff Traylor before, dude was rocking shades in that bowl game loss throughout the time to John Summerall, even when it
– Total dusk, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and, like, his interviews too, he just is like – that dude is a villain from Friday Night Lights. Like, it's just most – he just screams Texas high school.
Oh, yeah. He's got the Texas high school energy for sure.
So a lot of moving parts still in the transfer portal right now.
It's flip time. Like, we get it every year. Yeah. Like, what are the surprising flips? What are the under radar that no one saw coming? Does it affect Kentucky one way or the other? I mean, we're about to find out here. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll be busy. We'll have another live show, I believe.
Our show tomorrow will not be actually streamed live. We're going to record it.
Okay.
It's going to look fancy.
Yeah.
Look at Freddie and I in KS office. That'll be tomorrow afternoon. I'm guessing probably around 4 or 5 o'clock, give or take, is when we'll get it live. We're in between 3 and 5. But I'll let you know on Twitter an exact time. Mark Stoops and Vince Merrill's press conference is at noon. Last year, we had the Keontae Goodwin drama, and I don't even think they had a press conference on signing day because of all the drama.
Next day, yeah.
Yeah. It was a damn absolute poop show. So we're at least getting him at noon, so you're going to have a lot of
– It was – remember, they didn't have a letter. So Stoops had to sit up there, and he just kind of – it was ask Mark Stoops anything there for like 20 minutes. And so that was one of the more interesting press conferences I've been to, and Chase Heike was sitting – who's kind of Kentucky's one of their big recruiting guys behind the scene, was just kind of sitting there waiting to give Stoops the go-ahead, right, to make sure they got the facts in. So, yeah, that was an interesting time last year. Because remember, Keontae had to go – like, you went and got the audio of him, you know, signing the paper or whatever. Yeah. But he had to go to his high school to get, like, the actual paper to get it sent for whatever reason. I mean, that was wild. Wild times, man.
It's recruiting time of the year, man. It's that time of the year. It's a wonderful time of the year. As Andy Williams said, the most wonderful time of the year. It's a holly jolly time for the Big Blue Nation because Devin Leary is Kentucky's next quarterback, an outstanding passer, a rhythm thrower that's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC next year. When we're meeting in Nashville for SEC Media Days, they're going to be discussing, is Devin Leary QB1 in the SEC East? Will he be an all-SEC selection? That conversation is going to be happening.
We don't know who the East quarterbacks are for sure yet because Tennessee and Georgia both have big openings, right? Rattler might be gone.
Like, he might be the most moving commodity in the East.
Yeah, there's going to be a case to be made for that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's going to be
a
good talking point, I think, for Kentucky all throughout the offseason.
Oh, and we're going to freaking beat that dead horse because Devin Leary can take the Cats to the promised land. Down for a little bit, but we're back, baby. We're back. We'll see you all tomorrow. Happy holidays. Happy signing days. And remember your ABCs. Always be crudin'.